The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning, Colorado. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, we are injury attorneys. This is an injury show. We bring the show to you each week to teach you and educate you about different injury subjects. Let's face it. When you're injured in a car accident, crash, truck car accident, pedestrian truck accident, pedestrian car accident, hit and run, you're up against an insurance company. And, you know, we always talk about the myths in this business, the myths. And one of the myths that we always see in our law firm is somebody comes in and they've been injured or they don't even come in. And they later come in and then they say, you know, I've been injured. It was not my fault. Surely somebody's going to pay me. Surely the insurance company's going to take care of me. That's what insurance is for. We have a lot to learn about this, and we're here to teach you and tell you about all the behind-the-curtain secrets about these insurance companies. They are not your friend. They are your enemy. When you're injured in an accident, we call it the at-fault insurance company, the at-fault party's insurance company. So who is at fault in the incident, the accident? That's what we're going to talk about today. How does the insurance company actually pay you any money, and why? How do attorneys work with this, and what goes on behind the scenes, and what do you need to know to protect your rights to be paid fairly and adequately for the compensation for your injuries? These insurance companies insure the at-fault driver, the one who rear-ended you, the one who T-boned you, the one that ran a red light, the one who pulled in front of you and tried to cut across the intersection, the one that was drunk, the idiot that was texting and driving, the idiot that was talking on their cell phone and not paying attention to what they were doing and hit you, and you're off to the emergency room. Boom. Your day has changed. How does this work? So, Brad, let's talk about the general system. First, you got the at-fault insurance at-fault party's insurance company. How does that work? You're the injured victim. You have your own insurance company, so let's break this down for everybody so we understand.
Yeah, you're going to be involved in a couple of different entities that you're dealing with, that you're trying to make claims with, and that you're trying to do things with. You're going to want to talk to your own insurance company when it comes to the med pay. You may be wanting to talk to them when it comes to the UIM or underinsured motorist coverage, or maybe the uninsured motorist coverage. You're definitely going to talk to them when it comes to the med pay. That's going to be one of your first calls. You're also going to be talking to the other side's insurance company when it comes to getting compensation from the at-fault driver. You've got to be able to understand what the different offers are that they're going to make, what they're for, how they affect you. Can you take a part of an offer? Are you going to get advance money to pay any bills and maybe for living expenses? And you're going to have a number of different issues you're going to be addressed with. One of the things you're going to want to find out is how much the limits are that are available to everybody for recovery. Is there any money recovered available for recovery at all? So there's a number of issues and questions that you're going to have to cover as soon as you've been hurt in a crash. If you've been injured as a result of a personal injury, as a slip and fall, you're going to want to find out who the claims manager is, and you're going to want to find out whether or not there's any kind of money to pay for medical bills that automatically pay for medical bills of an entity when one of their customers is hurt on the premises. You're going to want to find out if they have any other insurance, and if so, who should you be talking to? You want to be able to limit and cut down who you need to and who you should talk to, how many times you have to retell your story, how many times you have to rediscuss your injuries and what you want to do. So there's a lot of things you've got to do when you get involved in some kind of personal injury.
All right, so behind the scenes, these insurance companies for the at-fault party, as Brad just said, it could be a big box store, it could be a retail store, it could be a mall. Today we're talking about a car accident. It's the insurance company that covers and insures the at-fault person, the person who hits you, rear-ended you, took you out of your game plan, boom, sent you to the hospital in an ambulance. You weren't planning on doing that. You were going home, had a nice evening plan, but here we go. Now your fight starts with the insurance company. You understand they have policy limits. The person who hits you bought an insurance policy that has policy limits. And so that's going to be one of the major constraints beginning. It doesn't always last, but the beginning constraint by the insurance company for the at-fault party. So, Brad, let's talk a little bit about the fact that, you know, people come into our office and they've been in a car accident, and they say the at-fault insurance company won't pay me, but they don't pay your medical bills. They don't pay for your pain and suffering. They don't pay for your injuries as you go. They pay in a one lump sum settlement later.
It's a technique that works for them quite often to get a reduction in how much they have to pay because they're hoping you're desperate. And if you're desperate, they hope you're going to take a deal, you're going to take some kind of offer without being able to hold out and get a full and fair compensation. They understand they don't want to pay and they're going to tell you they don't want to pay until everything's resolved. So the first thing is they may very well, they may very likely make an initial offer long before you figure out whether or not you're permanently hurt, well, long before you figure out what your total injuries are, and it'll be what we call a low-ball offer. It'll be something that's saying, here's some money, take it, go away, sign up all the releases, sign up everything, say you're through with us, we're through with you, you can never come back, and you're taking the risk. If you look at the releases they give you, it'll say right in there, you're taking the risk that your injuries are more or worse than what you're getting compensated for. And they'll make that offer. So, you know, when we tell you they're not going to pay until it's all over, they're not going to pay the appropriate amount until it's all over. And a lot of times even then they're not willing to pay the appropriate amount. But they will make this lowball offer at the beginnings quite often.
Right, and you need to know how they value this. The whole key to the system is how do they value this. You have this insurance company that insures the driver who hits you. Okay, we know that. What are their policy limits? They're not going to want to tell you. You need to know that. You need to know for several reasons, but one of the reasons is you need to coordinate that with your own car insurance company, UIM, underinsured motorist coverage. We'll cover that in a different show. But you need to know the policy limits. That's the initial constraint that the insurance company for the at-fault party deals with. So, let's say you're injured in this accident, you have a neck injury, you're off to the hospital, or maybe you don't go to the hospital, you go to your PCP, follow-up, and they say most of the time they're going to diagnose it as a cervical strain. Sometimes they do an MRI and find ligament damage or disc damage or a bulging disc or herniated disc. But let's say you have a sore neck. You know, how is the insurance company, you want to present a claim, but you don't know how long your neck is going to be hurt. A lot of people, it goes away. That's great news. A lot of people, it doesn't. They have to treat with maybe therapy, go back to the doctor. Some of them have facet injections, facet injuries later. And so Brad was talking about a quick settlement. The insurance company for the at-fault party wants to get rid of you. And so, Brad, they usually tender a low-ball settlement, as you said. And what should people look for? What should people be careful of when they're trying to tender this low-ball settlement?
You have to be careful of not knowing what your injuries are to begin with. It takes time. A lot of times you're not even going to know the nature and extent of your injuries until maybe a week, 2 weeks after the car crash. That sounds odd. You're going to be going, well, wait a minute, shouldn't I know it right away? No, it's like a lot of things you'll do in life where you feel the pain the next day or a couple of days later in a car crash. You might not feel the pain for quite some time. That's why, because your body is undergoing some kind of inflammation. It's gone through some kind of disc herniation. You're going to start feeling some pain and some tingling. Maybe it's going to be within a couple of days. It might be a week down the road. How bad it is, you're not going to know until you go through the proper medical care. That medical care is very important for you to understand what the medical care is going to be, to understand how long it might take before going through the medical care, you understand where you've reached MMI, maximum medical improvement, where you've reached a point where you can actually talk about what is going to be needed in the future and also what you did in the past. Sometimes the medical care is, I guess, a kind of trial and error. You're going to be going to, you know, maybe therapists. You're going to be going to chiropractors. You're going to go to massage therapists. Because one of the things our medical system is built on, and for sure our legal system, but our medical system is built on, is to try to use most conservative measures first. So the doctors say, well, we can't see inside your body. We're going to maybe use some MRIs. Maybe we're going to use some x-rays. A lot of times they don't even start with the MRIs. They wait to see if it goes away on physical therapy. They'll look at x-rays, which don't tell you nearly anything you really need to know about tissue injury and about ligament injury. It's not going to talk about that. And so what you're looking at is you're looking at a situation where even the medical field doesn't know where you're at and how long it's going to take for you to recover and what might be necessary for quite some time. So when you're dealing with the insurance adjusters, you've got a lot to deal with as far as them wanting to get the case resolved and done and telling you, oh, the crash just wasn't bad enough for you to be hurt. It wasn't significant enough. There's not that much injury to the cars or damage to the cars. Or even if there was damage to the cars, you were wearing your seatbelt, weren't you? And you had all the necessary, the airbag went off and you had all the necessary protections. So you just can't be hurt.
Right. You know, and sometimes they offer you a quick settlement. We're going to talk about that today because, as you've already gleaned from the show, many times doctors don't initially know what your diagnosis is. They're just doing what they're taught. You go to your doctor. She gives you an initial clinical examination, and she's doing what she's taught to do. Sometimes they don't really know. They diagnose it as a cervical sprain, but a cervical sprain can turn into more serious issues with your neck, like you need like a facet injury, and you need facet injections and that sort of thing. But a quick settlement, they offer you a quick settlement. And so we've said this on the radio many, many times. If they offer you a quick settlement, and if you don't know exactly what your injuries are or how long they're going to last, and if your doctor doesn't know exactly right now what the diagnosis is and how long it's going to last and what kind of treatment you're going to need to engage in, then how does the insurance company know? How do they know what to pay you? How do they know what the value of your claim is? And the answer is they don't. They want to try to get a quick settlement. And when they give you the lump sum money, because they don't pay as they go, when they give you the lump sum money, they're going to have you sign a release, and your case and your injury claim is over with forever. That's what we counsel people not to do. If you're going to make a settlement, you need to understand the nature and consequences of the settlement and your injuries. Bell and Pollock. Next up, if they give you an offer of settlement, exactly what do you do? Bell and Pollock, champions of the people. When a driver chooses to violate a safety rule, everyone on the road is in danger. That means you, me, everyone. Driving and dangerous choices. Think about it. The only allowable choice is the safest choice. Otherwise, you and your family are put at risk, in harm's way. This is really what car crashes are all about. One driver makes a choice that violates a safety rule. Everyone else is needlessly put in danger. In danger of injury, medical bills, surgery, lost jobs, quality of life changes, and future expenses. All it takes is one driver and one dangerous choice. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We've been representing injured victims for over 25 years. We can help you put your life back together again. We'll fight the insurance company who defends those who injure you and your family, those who make dangerous choices. At Bell and Pollock, we are experienced injury attorneys who care about you and your family. Reach us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com or call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. One call, that's all.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. This is the only show of its kind. We are injury attorneys. We've helped injured victims put their lives back together for over 35 years. We've helped their families. We've helped them navigate the insurance maze against the insurance company who tries to beat their claim, mitigate their claim, reduce the payout to next to nothing or nothing if they can. And we showed you ways they try to blame you. In previous show, showed you a way how they try to blame you for even a rear-end accident when you've been rear-ended. I mean, it's hard to believe this stuff happens. We're here to teach you. We've been doing this for years. We've done injury shows on other stations, and we're so glad to be here at 850 KOA to teach you and educate you about injury subjects. We cover a different one each week, and we go into it in detail. You can always call us at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Or our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Okay, we're dealing with a motor vehicle accident. Let's say you're in a motor vehicle accident. You were rear-ended. Your head got snapped back and forth. That's called whiplash. It's called acceleration, deceleration forces. It's known to cause certain types of injuries. You don't exactly know how long this injury is going to last, if it's going to go away or if it's going to be permanent. And so you go to the doctor, and you're treating. Now, they want to offer you a settlement, so they get your medical records. That's how this works. They get your medical records, but you got to be careful how you give them. We have a case protecting you in the state of Colorado. It's called Alcon versus Spicer. We're going to cover that in a different show, but there's a special way to protect your medical records. Of course, you have to give them the relevant medical records for them to value your claim. And now let's say, Brad, we're going to jump fast forward just for a second. Say they've done it. Say you've been treating for 7 months, 8 months, a year, and now they're going to offer you $100,000, which is the policy limits on the claim. Your medical bills now are $40,000, and they're going to offer you $100,000 policy limits. And now you're faced with the proposition of having had to pay back the $40,000 to the health insurance company. Let's talk about that first, and then we'll switch over to MedPay.
The health insurance company is going to want to get paid for the money they've handed out. They've probably sent you some kind of document. Now, they probably sent you a couple of documents. So the first thing you've probably got was a document where they sent it, a letter to you with a little questionnaire on the back or a full-page questionnaire or one attached saying, we understand you were hurt and it might be as a result of a negligence of another, and therefore we have a right to see if we can seek recovery from that negligent person. Please, it won't say please, it'll say give us the information concerning what happened and fill out this form. If you don't, we may not be willing to pay your bills, and we're not willing to pay the medical bills. Now, this letter sometimes can come out before your explanation of benefits even comes out. And the reason is because they're trying to say to you, and they're actually saying to you, we may not pay the medical bills at all and leave you hanging because you won't fill out this form. Sometimes they have that right within the insurance contract. Sometimes they don't. It's important that you, in a response to that, say, well, where's your insurance contract that tells you you can do that? But they'll want this information. Now, the reason they want this information is because it's their intent to go after the party who caused your injuries. It's their intent to seek recovery if you don't. And sometimes they'll say they're going to. I'd say probably 80, 90% of the time, if you don't go after them, they don't either. But the bottom line is they're telling you that they expect to be paid or reimbursed for the medical bills they've expended on your behalf by the negligent or the at-fault party. The minute you hear, it's kind of interesting because the minute you hear an insurance company saying, oh, you're a greedy person because you're going after our poor at-fault party who made a mistake and you want money from them, it's amazing how, nobody says, well, the insurance companies are every bit as greedy because they want the same thing. As a matter of fact, they're telling you they won't pay your bills without that being paid, without you going after them. So now they want the information, and they're going to say to you, we have a right of subrogation. They're going to send you a little letter saying the subrogation right gives us the right to be compensated for our medical bills that we pay on your behalf to whatever amount you recover.
Right. Let's put it this way. If you go to the health insurance and you go for that, and you have health insurance and you go to your doctor and you treat, you're not injured in an accident, you treat, you go for a physical exam. You go for a sore throat. You go for a sore arm. You hurt your arm in a sporting accident. You go. There's no third party. There's no at-fault party who caused your injury. So the health insurance company is going to pay the doctors, pay the hospital if you go to the hospital, and there's no right of subrogation, meaning they want to be paid back. Because there's no third party. There's no at-fault party to go after. But when you're injured in a car crash, let's use that example. In this example, they're going to offer you $100,000, and your medical bills were $40,000, and the health insurance company paid the $40,000. Since you were injured by a third party, i.e., the at-fault party, the person who rear-ended you, and since the insurance company for them, they're going to pay you $100,000, then the health insurance company wants the $40,000 back. Brad, and we're not to MedPay yet, but on that situation, how can the injured victim be helped? Because health insurance contracts, there's a right of subrogation, meaning the health insurance company wants to be paid back. Can you negotiate with these people at all? How can you help the injured victim and save them some money instead of paying the $40,000 back to the health insurance company?
You certainly want to negotiate with them. You want to talk to them about what they're willing to take, how much you're allowed to keep. You want your lawyer to talk to them about how much they're willing to take and how much you can keep. You're paying a lot of money to collect this $100,000. You've usually had to hire an attorney. You've got costs in the point to the point of getting medical records, maybe getting medical opinions. Doctors charge anywhere from a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars an hour. That's right, a couple hundred dollars to a couple thousand dollars an hour to give you an opinion or to talk to you or to sit down and discuss with your lawyer what's going on. If they go to trial, they even want more. There's a lot of money you're spending, and for the health insurance company who has been picking up premiums, and we all know these are not small amounts of premiums they're picking up. They've been getting paid on a monthly basis huge premiums by you or by your employer to insure you. For them to just walk in and say, now we want all this money back, and we want to take it out of your pocket, and I guess, you know, you should be really happy that you had health insurance with us and you paid all those premiums, because we're making sure we don't have any losses, and so those premiums are going to be just pure profit to us. They walk in and they say, this is what we want. So it's important, it's very important that you take a look at and you see what kind of negotiations you can do. A lot of that's going to depend on the type of insurance coverage you have. One of the things you want to do is get the policy. Another thing you want to do is you want to find out what the source of funding is for the money that's been paid to pay your medical bills, because there will be a source of funding, and you've got to find out where that money's coming from. It's vital.
It can become quite sophisticated. We can get into ERISA plans and who funds the ERISA plan, is there reinsurance, et cetera, but we're not going to cover that today. What we're covering is, in this example, you injured your neck in a car crash. The insurance company for the at-fault party is going to pay you $100,000 after they have fully evaluated your claim. Let's say you're a year after the accident, and they finally came to the conclusion that they're going to pay you the policy limits of $100,000. Your medical bills are $40,000, and your health insurance company who paid the medical bills wants their money back. What a great business model, right? Think about that. You pay your health insurance company premiums for all this time, maybe 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. You collect the premium. Now they paid the doctors on your accident, your injuries, and you recover for your injuries, and they want their money back. So there's ways to try to negotiate and beat that, and we can't cover them all on the radio. We couldn't even begin to. There's the make-whole doctrine, common fund doctrine, and we're going to save that for another show. But you have to pay them back. Brad, let's switch real quickly to MedPay, because if you buy, let's say you bought $10,000 of MedPay in that example, and they pay you $40,000, you don't have to pay the $10,000 MedPay back to your own car insurance company.
MedPay is an example of where our courts have taken a look at the system and has indicated what it thinks is fair and has identified a fair process with regard to MedPay when you're dealing with your own insurance company. And this is what happened. We have MedPay sitting there, and MedPay is actually a method that came about sometime after no-fault sunsetted. We used to have no-fault insurance in the state of Colorado. It's sunsetted. Which means the legislature did not renew it. It just let it go away. And then what we had is we had no-fault insurance company, or we had people without any insurance, or if they did have insurance, they didn't have money to pay the emergency responders. They didn't have money to pay the ambulance. They didn't have money to pay the emergency room. They didn't have money to pay doctors after that. So as a result of that, the legislature put in a situation where every policy, unless you reject it, every policy is going to have at least $5,000 in MedPay. That's money that is paid to the healthcare provider regardless of fault, regardless of who caused the crash, regardless of what might be the decision later on. The automatic $5,000 comes out. You can actually get more than $5,000. You can get insurance limits, depending on your insurance company, at $25,000, at $50,000, at $100,000. I don't know too many that go to $100,000. There's very few. But for sure, you can get it up to $25,000. And we can talk about it after the break. But you absolutely have to get MedPay, and you have to get it as high as you can afford. Do not give up your MedPay, and please get it as high as you can afford.
Yeah, Brad just said a mouthful. Okay, in this example, they're going to pay you $100,000, right? Your medical bills are $40,000. If you use your health insurance company to pay your medical bills, you got to pay the $40,000 back. There's some exceptions to that. That's the general rule. If you had bought a MedPay for $40,000, think about this. If you bought $40,000 of MedPay, the MedPay of your own car insurance company would pay your medical bills, and you don't have to pay your car insurance company back. You get to keep the money. Up next, we're going to be talking about how can you legally set it up to get your own money back, and you don't have to pay the insurance company back. Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Champions of the People. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. It's an information-loaded website. All of our books are there. We have written five books, one on hit and run. We've written books on insurance. We have a new book coming out this week from the publisher called Car Insurance in Colorado, The Essential Guide, How to Point Your Legal Compass to True North Before an Accident Occurs. You want that book. It's free. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, or call our law firm, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. We'll send you a hard copy free of any of our books, including the one that's coming out this week. So, and our website, all of our podcasts are there, our video casts are there, our audio podcasts are there, of all of our shows, including the live call-in show we do on Saturday morning on KHOW at 7 o'clock. That show is designed as a community service to answer legal questions on any legal subject. This show, as is with a bunch of our other shows, is an injury show, and we cover injury subjects. You know, over the years, we've learned people come in, they don't know, they're guessing. You don't want to guess. We wrote a book called Legal Game Plan, Your Strategy. Your strategy tailored to your, and you get a legal game plan when you come into our law firm. Your strategy tailored to your accident, how the accident happened, how you're going to prove liability, how you're going to substantiate your injuries, how you're going to prove your injuries, what was the mechanism of injury, and how are you going to defeat the strategy the at-fault insurance company has against you. And believe me, they have one, or they have many, and they implement them. And the myth is, you've been injured, surely some insurance company is going to pay. That's what insurance is for. Get that out of your mind today, now. Get a copy of our book. All right, Brad, we're talking about this car accident. The at-fault insurance company finally, in this example, a year later, decide they're going to pay the policy limits of $100,000. Your medical bills are $40,000. We've covered. If your health insurance company had to pay that back, paid it, then they want their money back. We've covered. If you bought MedPay for $50,000, for example, and you don't have to pay the $40,000 back, you keep it in your pocket. And so let's talk about that difference, and let's talk about what subrogation is and what it really, really means to the injured victim.
And MedPay is an animal where you've gotten it through your car insurance, and our courts have recognized the fact that you've paid a separate premium to get that money or to get that coverage. And because you're paying a separate premium, the court indicated and has stated it doesn't really seem fair, and it really isn't fair, for the insurance company to be able to get it back, to get that MedPay back when you've already paid for it, you've given them the money for it, and you've paid the premium. So, you know, the court looks and goes, when you've been collecting a premium to be able to pay this and you've been supposedly stockpiling that premium or properly investing that premium or properly using it, because obviously they're allowed to charge more and more premium as they go to the insurance commissioners and say what their bills are. They say you've put this money aside to pay MedPay expenses. What you're saying is that in addition to being able to put that money aside, you want to make the insured, your insured, who's been giving you all these premiums, to give you back the money they collect in MedPay. And they said that doesn't seem right. That seems like a double recovery to the insurance company. So instead what they said is they said we're going to let the insured, the injured person who kept the MedPay, didn't give it up, who maybe paid for more and collected more, we're going to let them keep that money. So if, in fact, all your $40,000 has been paid by MedPay, and once again, remember, you have limits, and the automatic limits are $5,000 if you don't waive it. So of the $40,000, only $5,000 may have been paid. Some for some people, zero if you waive it. Please don't do that. But the you know, you've got $5,000, maybe $10,000, maybe $25,000. That first money is going to be able to go into your pocket. You're not going to have to give it back to your car insurance company, who advanced that money to emergency responders, or maybe who advance that money to the first people taking care of you, or advance that money for other purposes, such as co-pays, deductibles, or what it might have been used for. It's a very important premise. Now, that is not necessarily the case on the when you're dealing with your health insurance, to whom you're paying a premium. You're going, well, what's the difference? And there is no difference. But there's a different set of rules for the health insurance companies, and that in that requires proof of make whole before you can avoid having to give them money. Now, remember, health, on your MedPay, you don't have to show make whole. You don't have to show anything. All you have to do is show that's MedPay, and you're entitled to keep it. That's
right.
It.
So you got to divide this up in your mind. The health insurance company is a separate entity. If you pay your medical bills from your injury, and if the health insurance company pays them, they're going to want to be paid their money back. And there's no protection. There's ways to negotiate that, and we can't go into them here, but you got to pay the health insurance company back. Your MedPay is on your car insurance policy. How easy is that? The statutory minimum is $5,000. Buy as much as you can. If you bought $50,000 in this example, and the MedPay on your own car insurance policy pays your $40,000 in medical bills in our example, out of the $100,000 the at-fault party is going to pay, if your MedPay paid it, you don't have to pay your car insurance MedPay back. You keep the money in your pocket. Now, there's other ways to fight it, and there's the common fund doctrine, there's the make-whole doctrine, and other ways to go after this. But the easiest way, right at the beginning, is to raise your MedPay on your own car insurance policy. And so let's get this process straight. Part of your damage is in a car accident or your medical bills. That's not the only damages. We're going to cover these in later shows, but we're talking about part of your damage being your medical bills. You had $40,000 of medical bills in this example. The at-fault insurance company pays you $100,000, and that includes your $40,000 of medical bills. So the fight's on. Are you going to have to pay the money back to some entity, or are you going to keep the money in your pocket? And so with the health insurance company, you have to pay them back, some exceptions. With the car insurance company, MedPay, you don't have to pay them back. All right, Brad, let's get down to the fact that you can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com, or you can call us anytime for a free initial consultation, 303-795-5900, 795-5900. Now let's go to the example where you got the $100,000, they're going to finally pay this after they've reviewed all your medical bills and your medical records. They're going to finally pay you. Let's use the health insurance company example. Let's say you waive MedPay, which you should never do. Your health insurance company paid the $40,000. Let's say it's not an ERISA plan. So we're trying to make this as easy on this example as we can. Okay, talk to me about the make-whole doctrine, and talk to everybody how that works, because sometimes even if you have to pay the health insurance company back, you don't have to.
Now, make-whole doctrine is a common law doctrine, actually, that existed for many years prior to it being codified and put into a statutory form. It has now been put into statutory form in the state of Colorado that requires certain deadlines. It requires you to meet certain requirements and certain qualifications. There's a school of thought out there that thinks it's good that it's now a statutory form, and you have by the letters certain things you can do and certain ways to try to invoke the principle. You have other people who think maybe that wasn't a good idea, and you don't have, and now you're stuck to just the codified section. But it is a matter of saying whether or not when you recover the money, you've been made whole. And made whole is obviously a lot of times a matter of perspective. Do you think you've been made whole? I don't know what your injury is when you're talking $40,000, so you have to tell us your injury. And let's say it's a broken hip. Okay, now the question is if you had a broken hip and you spent $40,000 for medical bills, which is very likely. I mean, that's the kind of money you're going to spend on something like that. And it's $100,000 you've collected, or you know, maybe you've collected some. That's the statutory limits is $100,000. That's what the limits were, and maybe you had another $5,000 on your MedPay, so you collected another $5,000 or whatever. A third of that's probably gone to an attorney. So now you're talking that you've got $40,000 and $33,000. You've got $73,000. Now, that's the $40,000 is the medical bills. Now we're talking about what happens with your ability to earn money in the future and what happened on the time you took off to address the broken hip and what kind of income you lost. And that's going to be an extended amount of money. So all of a sudden you find out that really $100,000, $105,000 does not make you whole. It does not compensate you entirely for your medical bills, for your lost income, for your attorney's fees, for your costs, and for the non-economic pain and suffering and loss of quality of life losses that you've experienced. And when you're looking at that, you start realizing, well, if I have to give this 40 over to back to the medical insurance company, I'm really in the hole. I'm in the hole anyway, but now I've got to give this money out and I've got to give it back. I'm just terribly in the hole. I'm not going to get paid for all my losses. And so we now have a statute where you can give notice, and you must give notice to the insurance company, to the medical insurance company, or whoever it is that's representing them. Quite often they'll hire a group like Optum or some other type of group, Avectus, they'll hire a group. And you need to give notice to them, and you need to say, here's what it is. Here's how much I've recovered. Here's what I've how the money's been spent, or here's what it's for. Here's my injuries and my losses I've experienced. Here's the problems I've got. Here's the permanency of my injury. And then you say, I have not been made whole. And you send that out to them to see what they're going to say in return.
Right. You know, there's a statute in Colorado, Brad just referenced it, that finally is in your favor. And so the general rule is, right, the general rule is if you collected the $100,000 from the at-fault party's insurance company, your medical bills are $40,000, your health insurance company paid the $40,000, your general rule is you got to pay them back. But under the statutes, you can, it's complicated, and we're going to cover it in detail in a later show, you can invoke the make-whole doctrine saying, my injuries, damages, and losses were more than $100,000. I collected the policy limits of $100,000. Therefore, since I have not been made whole, repeating, since I have not been made whole, then you don't get any of your money back. And there's a procedure you follow. And it can and does work in your favor. But you and your attorney need to know what this is. You can call us anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. Our website, go to it, championsofthepeople.com. All of our five books that we've written and published are on our website. They're free. You just click on them and you can download them for free. And also you can get our new book that's coming out this week called Car Insurance in Colorado, What You Need to Know, with narrative and picture instructions on sample insurance policies. It's easy for you to follow. How to point your legal compass to true north before a crash occurs. What do you need to know? What do you need to do? And that's not all of the book. There's other parts on rental car insurance, what MedPay is, how Medicaid is handled, how Medicare is handled. And it's a very exhaustive book with regard to car insurance in Colorado. Also, you can come in for a free initial consultation and a free legal game plan. We have a book. We wrote it, Legal Game Plan. We put our over 35 years of experience into this book. We will spend time with you. We will talk to you about your crash and your injuries. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com. We'll be right back. You're on your way to the store, then boom, you're T-boned at 45 miles per hour. Instead of shopping, you're on your way to the ER. Then comes the doctor visits, prescriptions, therapy, diagnostics, ongoing treatment, and the limitations. You have range of motion problems. Then the ultimate insult. The insurance company makes you feel like the crash was your fault. You need a legal game plan. You want a legal game plan. At Bell & Pollock, we've used over 25 years of experience to develop a legal game plan just for you. Our game plan has injury rules, rules of treatment, rules of claims, insurance company rules, litigation rules, rules they use to beat you. Now you can have them and know them and use them to protect you and your family. Our Bell & Pollock legal game plan gives you the rules the insurance company doesn't want you to have, or know, or use. But guess what? We do. At Bell & Pollock, success is no accident. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. Get your free initial consult and your free legal game plan. We'll help you. When you've been injured in a car crash, you're up against large insurance companies and their lawyers. You need experienced attorneys on your side. I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell & Pollock. We've been representing injured victims just like you for over 25 years. We can help put your life back together again. Sometimes the strongest thing you can do is ask for help. Bell & Pollock, Colorado's premier injury law firm. Find us at championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We have offices in Greenwood Village, Denver, and Steamboat Springs. We do cases all over the state of Colorado, and we've done it for years. We've tried jury trials in Sterling, Colorado, Durango, Grand Junction, Steamboat Springs, and all points in between. We have over 35 years of experience. We even have a book written on workers' compensation if you're injured on the job. We have a book written on, it's called Hit and Run, Cowards of the Street, and they are cowards of the street. We're talking about, in our usual example in these shows, is a car accident. You've been injured in a car accident. How do you enforce your rights? What do you need to know? You know, you don't want to guess. You don't want to speculate. You wouldn't speculate when you're putting a new product together. You wouldn't speculate if you're going to bake something. You wouldn't speculate or guess on the most important thing in your life, and the insurance company already knows what we're trying to teach you. Period. Paragraph. Done. So you need to understand what your rights are. A free initial consultation and a free legal game plan is in order. We wrote a book, Legal Game Plan. You can get a free copy of it. Okay, today we're talking about this car accident. In our example today, the insurance company for the at-fault party has decided finally, after they've reviewed your medical records and gone through, you've navigated that insurance maze, they're going to pay the $100,000 policy limits for all of your damages, injuries, and losses. One element of your damages, injuries, and losses are your medical bills. And we've been talking about that and how you work that and how you fight that, how you negotiate it to try to keep that money in your pocket and not pay the health insurance company back the $40,000 that they paid. Medicare is a different example. Medicaid is a different example. But those are very, very important. So, Brad, let's talk a little. What are damages, injuries, and losses? We've covered one element, medical bills, because I don't think many people understand, well, you've been injured in a car accident. What is insurance company supposed to pay me for what and how and why?
Well, medical bills is a key. You want to be paying attention to whether or not those medical bills will continue in the future, and if so, to what extent you may face medical bills in the future as a result of the injury you experienced from the crash or for the slip and fall. And so sometimes you're having to estimate, or you're trying to figure out what or calculate what the medical bills will be in the future. A lot of times that's very difficult. You need your doctor to help you to understand what might be there. And hopefully you've got a good doctor who will talk to you and discuss it with you and will give you information and recognize the importance of making sure that's available. After the medical bills, you've got lost income. Of course, you've got the time you spent off of work or the time you've lost from work. You've got the benefits that you've had to use at work that to maybe compensate for some of that lost income, whether that's using up vacation time or whether it's using up sick leave. And some of that will depend on whether you can accumulate that or have it paid to you, regardless of whether you use it. Sick leave is for sure one that you want to find out if you get paid for it. If you don't use it, then by using it, you've lost money. Vacation time, if you had to use your vacation time while you've been sitting around at home, that's a good compensation or a good calculation for you to use to determine what kind of compensation. That's, once again, when you're talking about lost income, you want to talk about not only what you have had in the past, but what you may encounter in the future. It may be loss of ability to earn. You've got to talk about that, whether or not you're now going to be classified as a disabled worker, whether or not when you go to interview with an employer or to talk about being able to carry out the job description that the employer has, whether you're going to have to look at them and say, I'm a disabled worker, I may not be able to do those certain things, or I'll need accommodations, or I won't be able to work as fast, or I won't be able to work as efficiently, and that could be could be another loss that you've got to address as far as somebody determining whether or not you're employable. You've got miscellaneous expenses. Don't ever forget about the medications you may have to get, because medications are very expensive. Sometimes there's orthopedic devices you've got to use, whether that be crutches, whether it be a wheelchair or walker, whatever the device might be, whether it be braces. You've got the medications that you've got to calculate in what you've got to use there. After that, you've still got things like mileage when you've gone back and forth to the doctor, and when you've gone back and forth to different healthcare providers, or when you've gone back and forth to the store to get your medications. So those are some of the medical bills you're talking about, or some of the, economic losses you're talking about. Basically, you've got to think at any time you've taken a dollar out of your pocket, any kind of money out of your pocket, you've got to be talking to them about getting it reimbursed.
Right. You know, so far we've covered out-of-pocket expenses, but I just talked about it. That's part of your claim if you've been injured, because we're trying to explain to you, you know, what can you claim? What does the insurance company for the out-of-pocket party have to pay you? What do they try to devalue? How do they fight you? So, yes, your medical bills, we've covered those. Yes, your lost wages, your job opportunities, or loss of earning capacity. That could be a complicated subject. Yes, out-of-pocket expenses. Yes, your pain and suffering. Yes, your physical injuries. If you broke your hip, if you need a hip replacement, if you have to have a facet injection because you have a facet injury in your lumbar spine or your cervical part of your spine, then yes, you can recover for those. So these are the part of the damages, how you build a case to present it properly and appropriately with the insurance company. You know, you can call us for help anytime at 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. We do cases all over the state of Colorado, and we have for years. You can go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We call it an information letter website. It's there. All of our podcasts are there. All of our information are there. And every Sunday morning, we do a blog in the Denver Post, an injury blog that you can read as well. So we're trying to cover the damages, injuries, and losses you can claim from an insurance company. Let's default a second, Brad, to the lost earning capacity or lost wages. Insurance companies don't want to talk about the future. Think about this. What they usually say is, okay, we're going to pay you $2,500 for your medical bills, and we'll pay you $500 for pain and suffering, and it's 1 week after the accident. That's a quick settlement. We've advised many, many times not to do that. But they're going to make a claim. They're going to make a settlement, Brad, and out of this $100,000, they're going to say, we're going to pay you X dollars for your settlement. And you say, wait a minute. That's just for my past medical bills. In this example, my $40,000 of medical bills are just for my treatment up to date. What about my future? What about my future lost wages? What about my future loss of earning capacity? What about the future medical bills? Are those part of a claim? They can't be ignored.
And they have to be part of the claim. If they're not part of the claim, then you're going to lose out and not be adequately compensated for your injuries, damages, and losses. You've got to be able to address what those future expenses and those future losses are. The insurance companies, the adjusters, absolutely don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about the fact that, oh, you'll be okay. You'll find a way to make as much money as you were making and to stay on the course of raises and bonuses and improvement and advancement that you would have otherwise been on. They don't want to recognize disabled workers. Now, the funny thing is, with insurance companies, is when they're training their salespeople to sell you insurance, they'll talk to you about it then, and they'll identify it then, and they'll talk to you about what a catastrophic event can cost you and what it can do to your future and how it can affect your family and yourself and your income. But the adjusters who work on the other side, who are the ones who are supposed to pay when you have this injury, they don't want to talk about it. That's something they don't recognize, and they don't even believe is true. Then in their mind, any catastrophic event you have will always be overcome, and you'll be able to go out there and you'll be able to do whatever it takes to get your full income. And there will always be a job somewhere, or you can always be retrained for maybe a couple $100 back into a field that's going to allow you to make the money you were making.
That's what they usually say, and they take their position that way, but they don't want to talk about the future. When you're talking about your damages, injuries, and losses in a car crash or any type of injury, you talk about past injuries, past damages, past medical bills, what you've suffered to date, but you talk about the future. And a good way to bring it home is, let's just talking about a lost job, Brad. Somebody say they're a wage earner, and they've been off work for 4 months. They're finally back to work half-time, but in their condition, the way it's going to be, they're going to need neck surgery in the future. That's going to be over $100,000. They're going to be off work, and they're going to be a disabled worker, as classified by the government and other authorities, a disabled worker. So they don't want to talk about, the insurance company doesn't want to talk about the fact that your work life expectancy for a 30-year-old person might be another 35 years. They don't want to talk about the fact that just 8 of those years, of the 35 years, you're probably not going to have a job. Maybe you're going to have a job for most of it, but you're not going to have a job. You're going to lose out for 8 of those work life expectancy numbers, and that's part of your damages you can claim.
That's right. You're not going to be working during those time periods. Why? Because you're going to have to take the time off to go get care taken care of. You're not going to have anything that's going to pay you. You probably lose your job when you take those months off. They're not going to be able to keep you. You're going to be out searching for another job, and you're going to be facing the same requirements and the same things you had to face before, trying to find somebody who will hire you knowing about this injury or this problem. Can they make the accommodations? Or if they don't, when you finally look and say, well, now it's time for my next surgery or for my next time off work, they're going to look and they're going to say, I'm sorry, we can't keep you. And they can't keep you because they have to run their businesses. And this is what they mean when they say you're in a disabled category or a category when it comes to your work life expectancy and your income expectancy. And nobody on the insurance side of this case, when they're deciding what you should be paid, will recognize it.
You know, that's part of the big part of the claim, but just think about your work life expectancy. Because what happens so many times is somebody comes in their office, they've been injured, they were out of work for two months, but they're back to work, but they're not going to be able to sustain it. That's provable. That's claimable. That's part of your damage, injuries, and losses. That should be claimed. And the insurance company is not going to want to talk about the future. Not going to want to talk about the future medical bills, future lost wages, future injuries, future surgery, or any of it. Go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. Get any of our books there. They're free. Give us a call at 303-795-5900. We're on your side because we are your champions of the people.